Today's Shiur Masechet Bavasra Daf Kuf Dalad. We will begin on Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud by the Gemara. To quickly review what we learned in our previous Shiur in the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about two different situations. First thing the Mishnah discussed was with somebody sold, where the seller said to the buyer, Beis Kor Ofra Adi Moichalach, made the bechevel. So when he said he's selling him a piece of property, the size of a car, he said it's going to be measured with a ruler, with a rope. So the Mishnah understood that to mean that the seller and the buyer are accepting to be accurate in their measurements of this piece of property. And therefore, if it turns out that the property was even a drop larger or a drop smaller than what was agreed upon, it has to be paid for, or it has to be dealt with. Of course, as we learned and will learn, it doesn't mean that the seller necessarily, if he sold more than he was supposed to, has to take back property. As we discussed, and we'll discuss again, Mitzvah Shem, if the piece of property that he sold was larger, and it's not that much larger, we can't expect the seller to have to get back that piece of property. He could get back money. Then the Mishnah discussed where the seller told the buyer, "Hein chesser v'hein yesser," maybe a little bigger, maybe a little smaller. And as we explained, when those words are used, it means that he's going to have leeway. And as we explained, there are really three categories of where the sale wasn't exactly what was spoken about. There's a situation where, again, we're speaking about a car. A car has 30 saw, where, and the halacha is for every saw, there's a quarter of a kav that is the leeway that's given. So that means in 30 saw, we would be talking about 7.5 kav. So it, which is a 24th actually. So if we had less than 7.5 kav in this piece, in this transaction, not being accurate, there was more or less than less than 7.5 kav in this sale, that was even given more to this buyer or less to the buyer, it's considered totally insignificant. And the halacha is that no calculation is required, no straightening out is required, the sale stands as it is. If there is an overage or less between 7.5 kav and 9 kav, the halacha is that the seller, as we will learn in the Gemara soon, has the upper hand, and has the right to decide either he wants that piece, we're talking a case where he gave more than he was supposed to, they has a right to demand either give me back that extra piece of property or give me the value of that piece of property. If there's more than 9 kav extra, that means the seller ended up giving the buyer more than 9 kav to a car, a property, there the halacha will be that he has to give him, that he has to be ready. There the buyer has the upper hand and the seller has to be prepared, since it's already a significant piece of land, the seller has to be ready to take back that piece of land. But the Mishnah drew a distinction between a situation where he used the words, where the seller used the words, mida bechevel, which, as we explained, means an exact amount, versus a situation where he said, hein ches v'hein yeser, which clearly means that he's willing to accept an approximation. So now ask the Gemara, what about a third situation? Iboilu, base kor stam amai. What would be the halacha where he didn't use the words mida bechevel, which clearly indicate that he wants an exact measurement? On the other hand, he didn't use the words hein chaser v'hein yeser, which indicate that an approximation is good enough. He just said, Beis Korach Rani Meichelach. What will be the din? Will the din be like the din of the Reisha? Will the din be like the din of the Seifa? Says the Gemara Toshma. We want to bring a ride from our Mishnah. The Mishnah started, as I said, Beis Korach Rani Meichelach. Me, the Bechevel, with a seller clearly indicated that it's going to be an exact amount because he used the words me the bechevel. Then the halach is pachas koshu yanaka. If the seller ended up giving the buyer less than he was supposed to, that should be taken into consideration. It should be deducted. Yes, koshu. If he ended up giving him more than he was supposed to, yachser, then the seller should be compensated. So what is the Mishnah saying? Specifically because it was a case of Mida Bechevel, Hostoma, if it wouldn't be that he used the words Mida Bechevel, then the halacha would be, they would be treated, Kein Chos Vein Yasser Dami. We'll treat it the same as Chos Vein Yasser, and that we give them this leeway that I described earlier. Ask the Rishonim if that is indeed the case, that using the word just based kar offer is as good as using the words by ches v'yeser. So the Mishnah should have taught us a bigger chiddush. The Mishnah should have taught us a chiddush that not only when you say ches v'yeser, not only when you say an approximation, is that when you add the words more or less, is that lucky you have the leeway. The Mishnah should have taught us that even if you don't use those words, you still get that leeway. And the Mishnah would have been teaching us a bigger chiddush. Answer the Rishonim, that the Mishnah is trying to teach us that even if the seller explicitly and specifically used the words chos v'yeser, that doesn't mean you could go and do whatever you want. There are shiurim that are acceptable and not acceptable. And that's why the Mishnah chose to speak about the case of chos v'yeser. But indeed, the same halacha would apply if you use the words, just the words, peis kor offer ani meichelach. Ask the Gemara. So, aim a sefer. But let's learn the sefer of the Mishnah. And the sefer of the Mishnah said, v'm amalai hein cheser v'en yeser. If the buyer explicitly said, more or less, then the halacha is, afilo peiches roiv l'saw, ahoyis roiv l'saw, as we said, if it was less or more a roiver of a calf, a quarter of a calf per saw, which we explained earlier, meaning when we're dealing with a field the size of a car, it means 7.5 calvin, because there are 30 saw to a field, to a car, higia. That's when the seller and the buyer have to be okay with it. If there's this difference. Hastama is mashed in the Mishnah only because the seller used the words ches v'yeser. Is there a din that we give him the leeway? But if you just use the words base kar offer without adding the words ches v'yeser, the din would be k'mida b'chevel dami. The din would be that it's considered like the case of k'mida b'chevel, that the halach would be, you don't get that leeway. So here, too, the Rishonim asked the obvious question. If we're saying now, that even if you didn't use the words Mida Bechevel, the halach is, you don't get leeway. You just use the words Beis Kor Offer, you already don't get the leeway. So the Mishnah should have said a bigger chiddush. That even if the seller just used the words Beis Kor Offer, you don't get leeway. Why did the Mishnah have to teach us the case of Mida Bechevel? Answer the Rishonim of Pashto Teretz. Because if the Mishnah would have only spoken about the case of Beis Kor Offer and taught us in the Reisha that if the seller said Beis Kor Offer, he doesn't get any leeway, I would think that if the seller went one step further and then just say the words Beis Kor Offer, but he added the words Mida Bechevel, and then the buyer doesn't get exactly what was contracted, it should be a bitul mekach. The entire transaction should be void. Teaches us the Mishnah, a very big chiddush, that even though the seller went out of his way to use the words Mida Bechevel, and now it's not exact, that doesn't void the sale. Just you have to pay. And that's why the Mishnah chose to use the case, to teach us the case of Midah Bechevel, even though the case of Beis Kor Ofer has the exact same rule. So what we have here is, the Reisha points in one direction, the Sefer points in another direction, and therefore Mahalak al-Mishmina. We can't understand the Mishnah. And there's two ways the Rishonim understand how to understand Hel Mahalak al-Mishmina. Most Rishonim, even though it's not the Pshat of the Rashbam, explain it very simple. The Deek of the Reisha and the Deek of the Sefer contradict each other. One of the Deekim is right. We just don't know which one. We don't know which deek is the accurate one, which deek is the inaccurate one, and therefore we have no way of answering our shaila based on the wording of the Mishnah. That's the simple pshat. The other pshat that the Rashbam, I think Tosfos, say is as follows. In the next Mishnah, knowing what the rule of Midah Bechevel and knowing what the rule of Hein Ches V'Hein Yeser is very important for us to know. But just to give you a heads up, or we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, is the Mishnah speaks about a case where somebody said both of those statements, and they're contradictory statements. What do we do with that statement? So that's why this Mishnah had to introduce the halacha in both of these cases, even though it leaves us sort of in the dark what to do regarding the case of Beis Kor Ofer. There's a gevalde gevart from the Shlo. Gevalde gevart from the Shlo. It shows how brilliant these people were. Our Gemara, and this is not the first time we've learned such a Gemara, says that when we have a deek from the Reisha and a deek from the Sefer, that are just opposite. And that's what the Gemara says, Mahal Lekel Mishmila. Says the Shalom, many times in Shas, we have the same type of situation, where a deek in the Reisha and a deek in the Sefer go in different directions, and the Gemara says Tavra, Misha Shana Zeh, Lashana Zeh. That the Reisha was taught by one Tana and the Sefer was taught by another Tana. Ask the Shlo, when does the Gemara conclude well Mihal Lekel Mishmina? And when does the Gemara conclude Tavr Mishishanazel Lashanazel? When does the Gemara use what teretz? Says the Shlo. What that means is in understanding the brilliance of the Shlo is it means that the Shlo knew Kolashas. And he was able to identify every place that such a situation comes and says the following. In a case where there's a machlokes anyway, and therefore we could ascribe the Reisha to one Tana and the Sefer to another Tana, the Gemara says, Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu. In a situation where there is no machlokes, so we can't say Tavra, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, that's what the Gemara says, Amahal Lekha Mishmina. What that means is that the Shlo reviewed without a computer every place in Shas that we had such a circumstance and saw that this explanation that he gave is completely correct and is completely consistent. So we still have our Shaila, however. What will be the halacha when somebody says Beis Kor Ofer without the words Midah Bechevel on one hand and without the words Hein Ches V'Hein Yeser on the other hand, what will be the din? Toshma, the Brisa says as follows. Beis Kor Ofer on the Maichalach, the case that we're discussing, or the seller said, Kibes Karofer Ani Eichelach, or he said, Hein Chesav Hein Yasa Ani Eichelach, the halacha in all these cases is a Philippiches Rival Asa, a house of Rival Asa. It wasn't exactly what they contracted, it was a Rival of Asa, either more or less, given from the buyer to the seller, Higiyah. The deal stands. Alma. So what do we see from this Braisa? The Braisa clearly indicates, Stama, the first case of the Braisa is the case that we are discussing, Beis Kor Ani Eifelach, and the Braisa says that Stama is treated Kehen Chesed Hen Yesedam. The Braisa is very explicit. And says the Gemara, the proof is not conclusive. Because the way to understand the Braisa is as follows, suggests the Gemara. Hasam Perusha Kam Mefarish. Maybe the way to understand the Braisa is that the Braisa is really speaking about one long case. And this is the way to understand the Braisa. The Braisa is asking a question. Everybody knows, and it's very understandable, that if the seller used the words Kibes Kor, why do you add the word Chaf? Really the first Mishnah of the Perek said it. Why do you add the word Chaf, the letter Chaf? He added the letter Chaf to say it doesn't have to be exact. So the Braisa begins with a question. Is there going to be a case where the seller did not add that prefix of kibes kor, that did not add that kof, and yet the halach will be that it doesn't have to be exact? Ezuhu, base kor. Is there ever a circumstance where the seller used the word base kor, that the halach will be she kibes kor, that we treat it like a circumstance that he used the words kibes kor? And the answer is yes. Going, that if saying the words base kor, but adding to the words base kor, he added chen chasav en yeser, more or less, even though he didn't say kibes kor, he didn't say the chaf, it has the same din. But could well be, if all he said was base kor offer, the halacha would be that it has to be exact. And that's the way to understand the Braisa. And if that's the way we're going to understand the Braisa, we don't have an answer to our question, what is the din when he just said base kor offer? Maskla Ravashi, ask Ravashi, how could you understand the Braisa that way? Imken ani moichalach lamali. Let's read the Braisa again and understand the Gemara's question. We're understanding now, the Gemara is trying to explain, the Braisa means to say, that the second sentence of the Braisa is a continuation of the first sentence of the Braisa. The base kor offer, that all I used with the word base kor offer, when is it treated, like I said, ki base kor offer? But if that's the way to understand the Braisa, asks Ravashi, what the wording of the Braisa should have been, base kor offer. Where is there a circumstance where I sell base kor, where I said only base kor offer, that it's treated to base kor offer, ani machalach, as if I would have said that statement? And then the Gemara would have answered, if I added, hein chesah hein yosah, ani machalach. But that's, why does the Braisa have the words, ani machalach, after the words, base kor offer? What must that mean? What that must mean is that we have to go back to our original understanding of the Braisa. And the Braisa is teaching us there are three different statements that halachically are all the same. One is when I use the words base kor offer. Another is when I use the words ki base kor offer. And the third is when I add the words hein chesav hein yeser. And all three of those cases and all three statements, the din is that you get the leeway. Ela lashma mina. So now we understand, we have an answer to our question. That if you just use the word base kor offer, it's treated as if you would have said, hey chesav hein yosser, and you get this leeway. Machlokes rishonim. Now that we paskin, that if I use the word base kor offer without anything else, we give you this leeway. So the Rashba says, it makes no difference if I said base kor offer zeh, or I just said base kor offer. In all cases, the din will be, as the Gemara paskin, I get the leeway. The Rimi Gash disagrees. He says, only when the seller added the words base kor offer zeh, so I pointed to a specific field, that's when I say we're not exact. But if I didn't say a specific, if I didn't say the word zeh, suggests the Rimi Gash, so maybe I have another field that is exact. And you, the buyer, don't have to accept a field that is less. And I, the seller, don't have to accept a situation that you'll be able to get more than the car. One more very important point. And we touched upon this in the previous year. The Rishonim and the Achronim tell us, don't make a mistake. What's the mistake that one can make? We're learning, and this is explicit in the Mishnah, that where the seller used the words hein chasav hein yeser, it's an approximation. And that's why it is leeway. How do we understand the leeway? The way we understood the leeway, and I said this yesterday, wasn't that there's that to understand it as if there was mechila, that if the seller ended up giving the buyer more than he was supposed to, he's meichel the extra. If the buyer got less than he thought, he's meichel. It's not mechila, explained the Mefarshim. The way to understand is that is the amount that was contracted for. By using the words Heim Chesed and Yesser, we're saying that it doesn't have to be exact, and that's what we want to sell and buy. Explain the Mefarshim, not at the Gemara Paskind, that in a case where I use the words base kar offer, even if I didn't add Heim Chesed and Yesser, the did is the same. It's to be understood the same way. Because the halacha is, when I sell you a base kar offer, all of us recognize and realize that you can never be exact. It's impossible to be exact. And therefore the halacha is that we both, the buyer and the seller, understood that more or less an approximation is what this transaction is all about. Ma'u lach lemay. So we explained that in a situation where it was 7.5 kav to the car, the halacha is that the seller is in a very strong position. What does it mean that the seller is in a very strong position? He could make a decision. He could either say, this extra amount I want back, or he could say, what am I going to do with such a small piece of property? And therefore the halacha is that the buyer has to pay him. So obviously when we learn the Mishnah, Le'yap is koicha shel moicher aminin, we give the seller the upper hand, we're more concerned about the seller. We're not that concerned about the buyer. Ask the Gemara, but there's a brisa that says differently. If there was 7.5 kabim to a car that was given less, this buyer received 7.5 kav less than a car. Oy, haisa shiva kabim. A machzel car, or he received 7.5 more kavim to a car, higiyon. Everybody has to keep it. Yois mikan. Let's say it was more than that. Koyfen es hamoich limkar veslekech likach. There the halacha is that the buyer is the one that calls the shots, and the buyer says, either the buyer will make a decision, either he could buy or he could give it back. So what do we see? That if the buyer has the upper hand, if it's more than a 7.5 kav to the car, that he makes the decision how to dispose of it. We just said that the moicher has the upper hand, that he makes the decision. So how do the buyer will dictate what should be done. And if he wants the moicher to sell him that extra amount, the moicher will have to sell. If he wants to give it back to the moicher will have to take it. So the buyer calls the shots. So we learned in our Mishnah that the Meicher calls the shots. And in the Brice it says the Lekeich takes the shots, calls the shots, answers the Gemara, it's a different situation. Hasam, the case of that Brice is, Kigoyin Dav Yikar Mikar. At the beginning, the price was high. When the buyer entered into transaction, the price was high. Vizol, Hashta. Now, when they recognized that it wasn't the exact amount, the price of real estate dropped. That means that we tell the seller, if you're going to want to get paid for this overage, have like a zayil dahashta. You can make the decision that the buyer has to buy it. But at what price? Not at the original price, which was high, but at the current price, which is low. Why? Explains the Evan Ozer Rabbis Zalman. He says, we are concerned for the Moicher. And that's, as the Mishnah said, Le'yapas Koicha Shel Moicher. We're always concerned for the Moicher. But we're only concerned for the Moicher. Being concerned for the Moicher doesn't change the necessity to be fair. And being fair means that the Moicher can't get more than it's really worth. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, there's another Braisa. Nice like a shash lakach. Here we're saying that the buyer, when he's paying for the overage, pays at the current market rate. And this price says that he pays at the original price that he paid. Answers the Gemara. And again, I'm explaining the Gemara like the Rashbam. Hasuk going to have a zoyle mikara for yokloi hashta. There it's referring to just the opposite situation. When the buyer bought it, he bought it at a low price. And then the price went up. And the Brice is teaching us, this is the way the Rashbam explains, that the buyer is entitled, the seller is entitled to call the shots. What does it mean that the seller is entitled to call the shots? He could tell the buyer, I don't want this small piece of property. I want, because it doesn't do anything for me. When it's only between 7.5 kav and 9 kav. But the buyer said, okay, you have the right, as the Mishnah says, and now the Braisa says, to call the shots and make me pay you. But you can't force me to pay you the current high rate. You could only force me to pay me the original rate, which was lower. Why? Explains the Rashbam very poshut. Whenever somebody enters into a transaction to buy something, he has to make decisions. Does he want the property? Could he afford the property? Is it a worthwhile deal? So the buyer could say, yeah, I'm interested in this property. Because I made a calculation, this property, for this price, is a transaction that I would like to enter. When it's more, even though it's fair, it's not for me. And you can't force me to pay more. That's how the Rashbam learns the Gemara. The Ritva learns the Gemara just the opposite. The Ritva says that the halacha indeed would be that if the buyer bought the property at a lower rate, and then it turns out that I, the seller, gave the buyer the property, gave him between 7.5 and 9 kav more than he was supposed to, and I, as the Mishnah said, have now the right to say, I don't want this piece of property, I want you to buy. The Braisa is saying that the buyer would have to buy at the current higher rate. And the Gedulei Shmuel, that's how he understands the Gemara. And the Gedulei Shmuel explains beautifully how to understand the machlokes of the Rashbam and the Ritva. He explains, we said in our previous year, we touched upon this. When we recognize that the buyer did not get what he was supposed to, he got more in the case that we're discussing. But he got more than he was supposed to. And now we have to straighten out, so to speak. What does that mean, that now we have to straighten out? Is it a continuation of the original transaction? Well, now it's a new transaction. The Rashbam learns, says the Gedulei Shmuel, it's a continuation of the original transaction. And therefore, the original price is the price that I'll have to pay. The Ritva, on the other hand, learns that now we're starting a new transaction. And that old transaction has nothing to do with the current transaction. And the current transaction has to be at the current price. There's a gewaldige shita that's quoted by the Sefer Trumas and the Rashbam, the Tshuvas, based on this Gemara. Our Gemara is very concerned about the Meicher. What does it mean? Just to quickly review. That if I, the Meicher, ended up giving you more than you're supposed to, but the piece of property that I'm, if you'll give it back to me, doesn't do me any good, I could force you to buy it. Says Sefer Trumas. What would be the halacha that I'm a malva, I lent you money, you're a loiva. And we learned earlier in our Masechta, we've learned in another place, also Baruch Hashem, that if the loiva doesn't have cash to pay me back, he could give me back karka instead. So the loiva has karka. Let's say he owns an apartment in Manhattan. And he owes me $100. So you know what? I'll give you a tile in my kitchen. He doesn't have cash. And the halacha is if the loiva doesn't have cash, he could give him karka. Says the Sefer Trumas. If an owl Gemara, our Mishnah, Chazal were so concerned about the Meicher, that the Meicher should not be in a position that he's going to take back a small piece of land, and what's he going to do with it? Certainly, says the Sefer Trumas, where I lent you money, I did you a favor. And now what are you going to give me, a tile in your kitchen? That even though the loiva, if he doesn't have cash, under a normal situation, can give me karka, it's only when it's a decent piece of karka. But to give me a piece of karka that's useless to me, I could force the loiva to sell or figure out another way of getting cash and not have to accept a piece of karka that I can't do anything with. Beautiful. We learned in the Mishnah, however, Shimshai Besada based test cabin, once the overage is already a larger piece of karka, the size of 9 kabim, then the buyer could tell the seller, take this significant piece of property. But now we have a question. The Gemara addresses a very specific situation. What would be the halacha? What would be the halacha? Where is this halacha said? Was this halacha said at a rate? 9 kav for every car is considered a substantial piece of property. So let's say I sold you not one car. I sold you two car. So when will a substantial piece of property, what would be considered a substantial piece of property? 18 kav, 9 kav for every car. That's one way of looking at it. Or one, another way of looking at it is that once it's a piece of property that's the size of 9 kav, it makes no difference how large the transaction was. You could give me back a piece of property. It's 9 kav because you're giving me something back that I could do something with it. So Omar Afuna, test kav and shamru, that once the overage is the size of 9 kav, if I feel like a gedoyle, even if the piece of property I sold you was huge, you could give it back to me. Rav Nachman Amar, nice and shim kav max lokal cover car. We look at it for every car separately. We don't say that this shear remains constant no matter how large the piece of property I sold you. However, Rav Nachman agrees, says the Gemara, the ika mercy is seira letisha kabin hadri. Once there's a drop more than 7.5 kav per kur, the halacha will be that the seller has to take back the property and he can't force the buyer to pay him for it. Ask the Gemara, Esrei Rav L'Rav Nachman, we learned in our Mishnah, Shimshaya b'sada beis tisha kabin, that if the overage is the size of 9 kabin, the seller has to be willing to take back, be ready and willing to accept back that piece of property. Now asks Rav L'Rav Nachman, isn't our Mishnah referring to a situation, lav d'zavon l'karayim, that the piece of property that was originally sold might even have been too core big. And yet the halacha is that once the overage is the size of 9 kav, he has to be ready to take it back. Like Rav Huna said, says, loy, that's not the case of the Mishnah. The zavon l'kar. The Mishnah is referring to a situation that the piece of property that was originally sold was a kar. There, even Rav Nachman would agree that if the entire sale was a car and the overage is the size of 9 kav, that he has to take back the whole 9, that he has to take back that piece of property. And therefore there's no raya from our Mishnah, says Rav Nachman, to his din. We learned at the end of the Mishnah. We actually learned the machloikis at the end of the Mishnah between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. That by a gina, by a garden, the shiurim are smaller. Or the gina, beis chatzikav. The case of a gina is that if there's a chatzikav, garden property is more valuable, it's more useful. We'll speak about what makes a garden into a garden. But garden property is more valuable, and as soon as there's an overage that's just the size of a half a kav, the seller has to be ready to take that back. Ask the Gemara, a half a kav to a car, to a saw. Isn't the case of our Mishnah, lav d'zavon l'sosayim, that even you sold a sosayim, once the overage is the size of a katzi kav, makes no difference how large the original gina that was sold is, the seller has to be willing to take it back. Loi. So the Gemara is talking about the zavon l'sosayim, but could divere Akiva, so Akiva halves all the share. Like the Zavon Leisah, Ukediver Rekiva, Rekiva halved it, and according to Rekiva, as soon as it's the size of a Roiva Kav, the seller has to be willing to take it back. Ukediver Rekiva based Roiva, my love, the Zavon Leisah, the Zavon Leichatzisah. Again, but if it would be more, then Rekiva will agree that the amount that he has to be ready to take back will be more. New question. Just one word of Hagdama. There's a Sada and there's a Gina. We who aren't farmers need to understand what's the difference between a Sada and a Gina. What makes them, things grow in a Sada and things grow in a Gina. What makes them different? So most Rishonim learn that a Gina has its own source of water, has its own spring of water. In a Sada, you have to bring water. It doesn't have its own source of water. But I saw another pshat that the difference between Sada and Gina is that a sada is distant from the city. So you have to travel. In those days, travel wasn't so easy. You have to somehow get to your sada. Gina is right next to the city, so it's much more accessible. And therefore, ask the Gemara the following question. By Rav Ashi, sada v'nas is gina, or gina v'nas is sada. If you have a property that was originally a sada, and then it became a gina, one of two ways. Either a spring was discovered, or people started moving, and now your field, which originally was distant from the city, is right next to the city. Or vice versa. Gina v'nasa soda. So, what is the halacha? Do we say that the original shear is followed? We just explained a moment ago, and the Mishnah said it. There are different shear for soda and for gina. So how will we treat this? Or do we say, do we go with what it was when you sold? Or do we go with what it was now? Take them. But the Rishonim qualify what we just learned. And they say as follows. As I said at the beginning of the shear, it's the Mishnah. There are really three categories. There's one category, let's talk about a soda, where the overage was less than 7.5 kaf. There's another situation where the overage is between 7.5 and 9. And there's a third situation where the overage is above 9. Say to Rishonim, the question that our Gemara is discussing is not a case where the overage was less than 7.5. Why? And it goes back to the concept that I keep on reviewing. If the overage is less than 7.5, it's not considered anything. It's meaningless. Less than 7.5 doesn't mean that I cheated you or you cheated me. Less than 7.5 is what you're supposed to get. It's not even mechila. What happened here was that it was the amount of 7.5 to 9, which by soda is meaningful, or by gina not, and vice versa. But if it's less than 7.5, or less than a half a saw by gina, there's nothing to talk about. That's one point I'd like to make. Another interesting point that I saw the Mefarshim make is, let's say we did two transactions. I sold you a soda, and I sold you a gina. And both of those fields that I sold you changed. The soda became a gina, and the gina became a soda. So now I'm a manavshach, the Mefarshim say, we're going to have to straighten out. Because if we say we go with the original, so we go in the original both. If we go with the current, we go with the current of both. And since we had both of these transactions, we'll have to straighten out. Another Gemara, Tana. Emhayu samach l'sadeyu afil kashuhu machs l'karka. Which means as follows. We keep on discussing that if the piece of property that was law, the overage was between 7.5 and 9 kaf, it was between 7.5 and 9 kaf, the halacha is that since it's an insignificant piece of property, we can't force the seller to accept it. Rather, what will be the din? The buyer will have to pay for it unless the seller is willing to accept it. Says the Braisa, when is that din? If this piece of property is stam a piece of property here in the middle of nowhere. So for me, the seller, to have to take a piece of property that's between the size of 7.5 and 9, I could argue, what am I going to do with this insignificant piece of land? However, says the Braisa, if I have already here anyway property, and this property is right adjacent to it, so just connected to my existing property, and I can't say claim, what am I going to do with this small piece of land? Now ask the Gemara, by Rav Ashi, Bar Masha Tafsik. There's a pit between this extra piece of property and my existing land. What would be the halacha? Amasamayim, what is a irrigation canal separating it? Masha Tafsik. Derech Harabim. And most Rishonim explain that the definition of Derech HaRabim doesn't mean a Rishus HaRabim. Rather, Derech HaRabim means a place where many people walk. Because everybody agrees, say to Rishonim, that if it's a real Rishus HaRabim, a real Rishus HaRabim certainly would be a Hefsik. Rich for the Tikla Mahu. There's a row of trees separating Mashu Tafsik, and all the cases is taken. Says the Gemara, the lawyer over Savad, Machser al kol maisa. What the Mishnah said at this point is that if the overage was more, I have to take back. So not only do I take back the amount that's above the acceptable, I have to take back everything. But the way the Mishnah described it, if you look exactly the words of the Mishnah, that I have to take back the part that I normally wouldn't have to take back. That's the Gemara Klapalaya. The Svar works just opposite. The way to understand the Mishnah should have been as follows. The amount that's above, let's say the amount above 9 kav that I have to take back. So the Mishnah says that once I have to take back the amount that's above 9 kav, I have to take back the rest. But the Mishnah says just the opposite. I take back the amount that's less than 9, and then I take everything else. It doesn't make any sense. And therefore the Gemara changes the wording of the Mishnah. Tani Ravim Barav Nachman, lo yisav avayis bevad nachzer, as kol ravayim kulam. What the Mishnah says is certainly the amount above the 9 kav, I, the seller, have to take back. But now says the Mishnah, that once I'm taking back, I don't just take back the amount that's above the 9 kav, I have to take back already everything.